Looking back, I can see your fingerprints upon my life, always seeking my best. There were times when your way would make no sense, but as you said, you have never left.
You are always.
I can see my frailty, my sin is great, and my strength is so small. Still you stay, and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand, and you hear my call.
You are always good, you are only good, you are always. My heart believe you are always only good. Looking up, I can see your sympathy. I doubt myself, but I'm sure of your love. Lavish grace was poured out at Calvary, securing me for our home.
Thank you for that very much. What a blessed truth. The Lord is always good. Amen? Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians tonight as we get to the preaching this evening. Ephesians chapter number 5. And as you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God tonight? Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 22. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. We'll read down to verse number 29 if you would follow along. Why don't we do this? Brother Drew does this with you all the time, so I'll do it. I'll start off with verse number 22. I'll read the even, you read the odd verses, and we'll end on number 29, so you'll figure that one out. I'll start off with 22, you get 23, and we'll continue down to 29. Everyone got it? What am I doing? Okay, good. All right, great. You got it. All right, verse number 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." We'll finish with verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this night, a blessed time. What a blessed day to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for working. Thank you for speaking to hearts, for moving. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would move in our midst. Holy Spirit, please speak to our hearts. Lord, please work in and through me and through your word, and may it go forth with power and help, Lord, to challenge, to correct, to strengthen the areas that are needed tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Want to give you a couple of thoughts and then get to the message, but I want to challenge you, church, tonight as we start these Sunday night services for the year. And I love every service. Every service has a different feel, if you will, whether it be our Sunday school service, our 11 o'clock evening service on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. Everyone is a little bit different, some of it based on who's here. And in Sunday school, I'm not meaning like who's here and who's gone, but who's in the auditorium here. You know, when you add all the kids, it's a whole different flavor of service when everyone's in their classes and teaching all over the place. I want to just challenge our church family these first number of weeks. I'm not sure exactly how long, but maybe for this first month, about this topic here, looking at verse number 27, and it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. And I want to challenge you tonight and these first few weeks of the year about presenting a glorious church to the Lord. Amen? Presenting a glorious church, presentable to the Lord. So as we begin this year, I want to just challenge our church in some areas where we can kind of not really hit a reset button, but kind of maybe kick it in high gear about continuing forward for the Lord and encouraging and challenging in a few areas. I want to tell you, church, I am so thankful for Shasta Baptist Church. I'm so thankful and so blessed. The Lord has allowed my wife grew up here, but for us as a married couple to be here for over 20 years now, and I feel in many areas that I've grown up here. And I know I was an adult when I came here, but when you're 22, you're not really grown up yet. Hate to tell you 22-year-olds, but you haven't arrived yet. And right, the older ones are saying amen to that, and you're like, I remember me when I was 22, right? But I really just grown up here and serving the Lord. I feel like this is Bible college, like 2.0, you know, and you go to Bible college and learn the basics, and you go into ministry where you really learn and put into practice the Word of God and your training, and you say, oh, Lord, help me. I wasn't ready for this one today. And that's most every Sunday, just so you know. But there's stories I want to say, but I shouldn't. from this morning, all right? Our church is blessed. I'm trying to let the story pass my mind, but it's really hard to. Anyway, our church is very blessed with people that love the Lord, serve, sacrifice, give, pray every single week. We are so blessed at Shasta Baptist Church. I don't know if you realize how blessed that we are. We have something very unique here, and it's a godly, biblical church. If you travel around much at all, or if you visit a number of churches, you know that it's hard to find. And I'm not saying this in any way to pat myself on the back. I'm carrying the baton, but I've barely started my journey with the baton. And I'm thankful, that leads me to the next point. I'm thankful for Pastor Miss Johnson, 40 plus years of serving, faithfulness, and continuing to serve. And that's a great testimony. And so I thank you for that. And what a great testimony and example to follow. I'm thankful for our incredible staff and deacons and members and volunteers and people that just show up and sit in the seat. I'm thankful for everyone that has a part here at Shasta Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the heritage of those that have gone on before us and have gone to heaven. Right? We have a lot of people on the other side. You know, you think and you drive around and you look at empty seats in the auditorium about people that sacrificed, that taught classes and worked on buses and gave and sacrificed for us to have a church today. May we never forget those that sacrificed for us to have a church today. Amen. Never forget the sacrifice of others that have people that names. There was a man I met a couple weeks ago, and his last name was Step. And I said, you're related to Sam Step. I don't know Sam Step, other than from the memorial video we show in May. And we show it every year, so I've learned some of the names of people that I never met. People that have gone to heaven and have gone before. But I'm thankful for the sacrifice of people. But most of all, Most of all, I'm thankful for the Lord. Amen? The Lord that sacrificed for us to have a church today. As you look at these verses today, maybe the ladies were getting nervous about when we started the scripture reading. You're like, oh no, here we go. But God gives the analogy of the relationship between a husband and a wife with his relationship and his love for the church. Right? The church is not a casual relationship. Right? It's not a casual relationship where we church hop and I'll go when I feel like it. No, it's a dedication, the same dedication a husband gives to his wife and a wife gives to her husband at the wedding altar is the dedication that Jesus Christ gave and showed for us as husbands to love our church as Christ loved the church. Well, what a great challenge that we have, right? What a high calling and an example to follow that Christ loves the church and I'm to love my wife that way. Well, how much of a challenge that is for wives to love and to submit to their husbands as a husband submits and follows the Lord. What a great example that God gives us for his love and his sacrifice for the church. No one loves the church like Christ loves the church. No one has sacrificed more for Shasta Baptist Church than God sacrificed for this church. Number one, and most importantly, this church is a God-made church, not a man-made church. That Christ gave us the church, and it's our job not to mess it up. Right? It's our job to follow the instructions God has given us and to move forward with this church to present unto Him, to present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now here's the problem. We have sinners in the church tonight. I hate to call you out tonight, but I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about me, right? We have sinners here, and so Christ, a perfect example, a perfect God, gave His Son, started the church. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." This is His church, amen? And He wants us to present it to Him, a glorious church. You think about this relationship that the Lord showed us, the relationship between a husband and a wife. Well, what is a relationship between a husband and wife built on? Well, if you've been married for any length of time, you understand what that marriage asks of you. If you're a younger person, you're learning, you've maybe seen it and heard it, but you don't understand it firsthand. Now, I've learned a lot of things in 20 years in marriage, a lot of things not to do. Can I get a testimony on that? Learned a lot of things not to do, learned a lot of things I should do. A lot of them I learned a little bit slower freight than I should have learned them. Don't leave me hanging on that one, all right? You learned them a little slower as well. But the relation between a husband and a wife, what is it built on? Well, it's built on your beliefs, on your convictions. You say, no, I thought it was built on love. Before you get to that place, a relationship is formed and built on common beliefs, that foundation, where you come together and say, as a Christian, right? Now the world, you fall in love and you fall out of love, and that happens dozens of times. But as a Christian, the way that God instituted the marriage and the home, that you find another young person, another lady, not another lady, a man find a lady find a man that is saved, walking with God, loves the Lord, faithful to God, and you come together and you say, here's what I believe. Where do you believe? You find it your common beliefs. And is that someone that you want to grow old with and that you can have a common belief and foundation and direction for your life? The relationship that's built on love. That you choose to love that person that you committed your love to at the marriage altar for some of you years or decades or more longer ago. There's a dedication, right, to your marriage. There's sacrifice for a marriage. There's dedication, there's commitment, there is giving in a marriage. There is forgiveness needed in a marriage. Well, if you relate your relationship to your spouse and what it takes for a marriage, not just to last for years, but to thrive and to grow closer to each other and closer to the Lord, well, that takes work, doesn't it? It doesn't happen by accident. You have to work at that. So in relation to that, if you think about your church, well, a godly church doesn't happen by accident, right? You don't just show up on a Sunday and go, well, I guess we're going to have a wonderful Sunday today. It doesn't happen that way. the work, the labor, the sacrifice, the dedication, the giving, all that goes into that for a church service, for a Sunday, for the church to continue. Remember this. First of all, this is God's church. The Bible says in Acts 20:28, it says this, it says, "Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Look at this. He's purchased this church with his own blood. He paid a high price for us to have a church service today. May we never take church for granted. May we never take it for granted that you get to go to a Sunday school class, that you get to take your kids to a Sunday school class, to a nursery, that you get to jump on a bus. Maybe it's not as exciting when it's cold and raining and all that, but that we get to have a church to go to. May we never take it for granted, because God loves it enough that he purchased it with his own blood. He gave his life for the church. He loves the church more than you could ever imagine. May we never take it for granted. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:22, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, that he is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:25, that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. The Bible says this again, that he might present to himself a glorious church. That word glorious means worthy of admiration and praise in the sight of the Lord. That God would look down from heaven and he would be pleased with Shasta Baptist Church. May that be our desire. Every song that is sung, may God be pleased. May it not be for man worship. May it not be for a talent show. May it be to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. I'm all for practicing. Make it sound good. You know, get the piano right and the mics right and get all the parts right. That's great. But I'd rather get all that wrong and please the Lord than to have a show up here. Right? I'd rather have someone that gets on their knees and prays over their Sunday school lesson and prays for their students, and they walk with God, and you get up the next Sunday and maybe you don't have a fancy outline and you don't have a fancy slideshow and all this stuff, but you walk with God and you say, "God, I want to please you today." That's what God is looking for. So I want to be pleased with in every ministry. If God were to walk down the halls of Shasta Baptist Church today, would he say, "I'm pleased. I was glorified. I was praised. I was lifted up." They're trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. May that be our desire. So easily and so quickly we can get away from that, can't we? So quickly that church becomes a show. So many churches, it's just a show. It's just a performance. It's just it's an entertainment for people to come and feel good and leave. And there's nothing glorifying to God about a worship show. There's nothing glorifying to God about entertainment and performance and all this stuff. Right? We may not be the fanciest church. We want to get things right, okay? We want to be clean and presentable and all that. But most of all, we want to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." We are on sacred ground today. Right? You enter the church. I know you've been here long enough, and our kids have grown up here. Some of you have grown up here, and your kids are growing up here. What a blessing that is, right? And sometimes you grow up here, and it just becomes home. And that's a good thing and a negative thing at times. You know what I mean, right? And all of a sudden, it's home, and you're like, "I'm going to leave my stuff here because I'm coming back tomorrow." Well, it's not literally your home, all right? It's God's house, not your house, right? And the kids think, "Well, I'm here all the time. It must be like home." There needs to be a level of respect for the house of God when we enter these doors. Every time. Teach your children when you come to church. We get to go to church today. Pray. Instruct your, prepare your heart and your mind. I don't know about you. Sometimes I come to church frustrated. You ever been there? Sometimes I come to church with other things on my mind and all this stuff and worries and cares, and you got to pause that and say, "But I get to go to church today. Amen. I get to go to the house of the Lord today. I get to bring my family to church today." What a blessing that is. Say, "I get to teach. I get to work in the sound booth and the nursery. I get to work. I get to usher. I get to serve God today." Hey, it's his church. Amen. This is holy ground that we get to stand upon to do the work of God. So what kind of church is Shasta Baptist Church? Let me help you with this. We can't live in the past. I'm thankful for the past of Shasta Baptist Church, right? But we can't just live in the past. I'm thankful for past blessings and foundation that's been laid, but I want God to bless us more in the future, right now, and in the future than He did in the past. Don't you? I pray and I believe that the greatest days for Shasta Baptist Church is ahead of us because I believe that's what God wants. And that's what God desires. I'm thankful for the past, but we can't expect God's blessings and live on past blessings. Don't just show up and say, well, I'm sure someone's going to get saved today. Did you pray for someone to get saved today? Did you literally pray, say, God, would you save a soul today? God, would you change hearts and lives? There's some Sundays I sit up here and people walk in the back door and I go, I cannot believe they showed up to church today. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. And I think, praise the Lord. Amen? I think, thank God. You give an invitation and you see a hand go up and someone comes forward and I think, thank God. You see someone that comes forward to be baptized and I think, thank God that God is still working. Amen? Don't just expect God to bless, but not prepare for God to bless. You know what I mean? Just show up and say, well, I'm sure God's going to do it. No, God is looking for servants that are faithful and willing and preparing the ground for God to work. So my prayer for Shasta Baptist Church this year is for souls to be saved. Is that your prayer? Every service, every time out soul winning, every rescue mission, every juvenile hall, every ministry, every time, pray for a soul to be saved. Now let's not pad the numbers, all right? I see the hand, and we had like 5,000 saved this morning. We didn't have 5,000 in church this morning. Couldn't happen, all right? But I pray that every service that we see someone saved. That's God's desire, isn't it? I pray that the altars are filled. I pray that the baptismal waters are moved and people are joining the church and getting faithfully involved and serving. I want God to work this year. Let's not just expect that God's going to show up because of what we've been in the past. I believe that God will bless because of our past, but what about today? Again, was God pleased with you today? Was God pleased with you as you entered this property, as you prepared your heart and your life? So many times as a young person, I remember showing up to church or showing up to a conference or whatever it is, and you show up and you're like, okay, you know, Lord, speak to me. But did you prepare your heart for God to speak to you? You say, well, I wasn't going to be teaching. I wasn't going to be serving. Did you say, God, speak to me today? I need you to speak to my heart today. If we're going to present to the Lord a glorious church, number one, I challenge you with this church is if we could be anything at Shasta Baptist Church, may we be a spiritual church. If we may be anything as a church, may we be a spiritual church. Why? Because that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. If we could be anything, my prayer is that we'd be a spiritual church, pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Our church is only as strong as each individual Christian in this room, right? You've heard it said before on a team, you're only as strong as your what? Weakest link, right? As a church, hey, we're setting up a hedge, right? We're a team. We're serving together, hand in hand, and we're in a battle, aren't we? We're in a battle today, and we must together work to be spiritual. Let me ask you this. If the church were to copy your spiritual level today, what kind of church would we have? That's a humbling thought, isn't it? And I'm saying for me too. If the church were to follow your spiritual level, where would the church be today? Many times we say, well, they're supposed to be spiritual and they serve here or they're on staff. No, stop for a minute. As a church, as a member, you're just as much a part of this church as any other person. And if the church's level of spirituality was as strong as yours is today, where would our church be today? Would God be pleased? Or would God say, hey, there needs to be some room to grow? And there always needs to be room to grow. Let me give you a few thoughts today about presenting to the Lord a spiritual church. Number one, grow or start your walk with God. Grow or start your walk with God. Many times the biggest hindrance, and I could say this, after your salvation, the biggest hindrance in your Christian life is your walk with God. If you don't spend time with God every single day and have a real relationship and walk with God, that is going to be the one big hindrance why you will never move forward in your Christian life, is your walk with God. So if you were to rate it today, between you and God, you're not answering to me but to the Lord, how was your walk with God this morning? How was it today? How was your Bible time? What'd you read? What'd you get out of it? What are you still musing on, and what is God still working on your heart and life about when you sat down in your couch and your bed or your backyard? Probably shouldn't have been the backyard this morning because it was pretty much a mess out there today. But your walk with God today, how was it? We started the year, and again, many times at the beginning of the year, I'm going to start, and you could name it. But spiritually speaking, I hope you've started the year out strong in your Bible time. I hope you've picked up a Bible reading schedule, or you have a digital reading schedule, or you just use your Bible and read and flip the pages and put a marker there. Have a plan for your Bible time this year. Do you have a plan? You know, those that don't have a plan and a goal many times don't accomplish as much. Now, maybe you are super motivated and you're going to read your Bible 15 times this year. I'm not sure. But do you have a plan and a goal to read your Bible through cover to cover? That's a great goal to have, isn't it? Read your Bible through cover to cover every single year. Start in Genesis, go to Revelation. However you read it. Some like to read it chronological order, and it starts from the oldest and goes to the most recent and puts it all in order. Maybe you read some of the Old Testament, the New Testament, out of Psalms and of Proverbs. Maybe you read just straight from the beginning to the end. However you read the Bible, it's all good. Amen? It's all good. Whatever your plan is, stick to your plan. So you fail a day. You mess up. You miss. You fell asleep. You were sick. Something happened, and you missed a day. We'll catch you back up. Right? Don't quit on it. A just man falleth 7 times, and then what? He riseth up again. Hey, stay faithful to your Bible time. Grow or start your walk with God. Maybe you have no walk with God. You've never had a consistent time of opening your Bible every day to read your Bible and spend time with God. Here's what you do. You pick a time. You schedule it. Okay? You schedule it. Young people, schedule a time to walk with God. Say, okay, say it's going to be 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, whatever the time is that works for you. Maybe it works better for nighttime. I'd rather you read at nighttime than no time. Pick a time that works for you and read your Bible every single day. Get alone with God, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And pause, turn off the phone. Sometimes I'm like airplane mode, sleeping mode, whatever mode that makes it stop making any noise. You throw it in your kids' room. I don't know. Be quiet. And just say, I'm going to get alone with God without any distractions, because I want God to speak to my heart. If we're going to have a spiritual church, it starts with you at home getting alone with God. So how's it going today? Job 23:12 says this, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More important than any meal you will ever eat in a day. And those are important, by the way, right? Those meals are important. I look forward to those meals. I'm looking forward to one a little bit later tonight. My kids have, never mind, we'll pass that, all right? But more important than that meal is that Bible time. So will I say, you ever miss a meal and go, oh man, what'd I do? First of all, I don't miss meals. I don't forget about meals. I may purposefully skip when I'm time to get, I don't forget to eat, all right? I'm a man, I've never thought about that. It never happened, all right? Not once. And you're like, maybe I didn't eat. I should probably eat some more right now because I'm not too sure about that. But you get through a day. Have you spent time with God? It's more important than any meal you're going to ever eat. Better than the best meal you'll ever have is that time alone with God every single day. Spend time with God. Read it. Meditate on it. Read it again. Let God speak to your heart. Grow or start your walk with God. You say, but I missed the first 3 days. We'll start on January the 4th and start today. He said, well, I can't read my whole Bible in a year. I've tried and I failed. Read a chapter a day. Read a proverb a day. January 4th, read Proverbs 4, and so on. Read a psalm a day. You know what? If anything, read a verse a day. Right? Get something every single day, but let God speak to your heart through that verse, through that chapter, through that Bible reading. Say, I need it every day. Grow or start your walk with God. Number two, be fervent in prayer. If we're going to have a church that's presented glorious in the sight of the Lord, have a walk with God, read your Bible every day. But number two, be fervent in prayer. I understand your walk with God involves praying, but I want to challenge you specifically about the area of prayer. To be fervent in prayer. To be fervent is to be passionate, intensity, and faithful. Think about this. To be fervent. In James 5:16, you probably know the verse. The Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Faithful, fervent, effectual prayer life. How's your prayer life today? Did you pray today? Did you spend time praying for yourself first, confessing sin, surrendering to God, starting with you? Draw a circle around yourself. You need prayer more than anyone, and so do I. Let's draw a circle around and say, God, I need to pray today. I cannot step out of this house without praying. I cannot talk to a family member without praying. I can't go to work without praying. I can't witness without praying. I can't serve without praying. God, I need you. I must pray. Spend time with God. Passionate, fervent, intensity in your prayer time. You've heard the term before about having prayer warriors. You know the person, right? In your mind, you think of that prayer warrior, that person that just prays. Many times that person is the one that says, I can't do much else, but I can pray for you. I'm thankful for the prayer warriors in my life. I'm thankful for people that pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for our church. I'm also thankful for those that pray and they tell you that they're praying for you. Not as a badge and a pat on their back, but they truly mean it. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God would bless your life and your family and your church. That means a lot to me. Be a prayer warrior. If you could be anything, be right with God. Spend time with God every day. You'd be a better husband. You'd be a better wife. You'd be a better Christian, a better son and a daughter if you simply walk with God every single day. If you did nothing else, walk with God and be right with God every day, and God will be pleased. Be fervent in prayer. The Christian life is better lived on your knees than on your feet. Many times we get so busy doing the things in life that we don't stop to pray. Now the Bible says pray without ceasing. And you can't live your whole life on your knees. I understand you got to go to work and care for your family and the house and all the stuff. But don't forget to pray. Maybe you're praying as you're cooking the meal. Pray. Pray as you're mowing the yard or as you're driving to work. And all throughout the day, just pray and spend time with God. Pray for yourself and for your family. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children every single day. Pray for them. Pray for a hedge of protection about their lives, that God would bless them and use them. Pray for your church. Pray for one another. I don't know about you, but I pray for the church, and I'm not perfect at it, but I try to pray for every teacher and every class and every bus route and every ministry and for our ushers and nursery and sound men and all that. And then I pray a hedge of protection around our property, that God would keep the wrong things out and the right things in, if you know what I mean. And pray. Prayer is such an important weapon in the Christian life that many times we leave laying on the ground. Pray. Pray for one another. There are so many prayer needs represented in the room tonight that we must be praying for one another. We must be praying. Call the prayer line and pray for one another. Leave a prayer need and pray for the needs that you hear from others. Pray for one another. Pray for our city. Pray for Redding, California. If we had a burden like we should for Redding, California, I believe that God would turn this city upside down for Christ. If we truly as a church were led by the Spirit and God worked, that God would move in a great way. Pray for our state. Oh, Lord, we need it. Lord, pray for our state. I know we're praying for another election for someone else to get in the governor's office, and it's probably going to be someone just as bad or worse. But pray for our state. Pray for our country. Pray for this world. Pray that God would work every single day. Pray for our missionaries. Be fervent in prayer. I took a long time on the first two points. I'll be quick on the last two. If we present ourselves glorious in the sight of the Lord, be a spiritual church. Number three, be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you walk with God and pray, God will lead your life. You truly spend time with God and say, God, I want you to lead my life every day. You know, the leading of the Holy Spirit is crucial in our lives. Crucial. It is so important to have the power of God on your life, but then the leading of God in your life as well. There's a difference between teaching a Sunday school lesson and God moving and the power of God entering that room and speaking to these children's hearts and lives. You teachers don't know how blessed we are as parents that you teach our children. We're blessed when they come home and teach and they repeat the lessons you taught them. You are impacting their life, and I need you to be led by the Spirit because you're teaching my children. You're teaching other children in the room every week. You want the power of God in your life. Be led by the Holy Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, you'll be led by the Spirit. You truly walk with God in the day, and you walk with God throughout the day. Don't just leave Him aside, but say, Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me every step of the way. I don't want to step one foot, one step out of the will of God. I don't want to be one centimeter out of the will of God. It's too dangerous to walk away from God for one moment and let the devil attack. I don't want the devil ruining my home. I don't want the devil ruining my life. I don't want the devil ruining our church or your lives as well. Be led by the Spirit. Say, God, I want you to direct me every step of the way. And then lastly is this, live a clean and a holy life. You walk with God. Say, God, throughout the day, help me not to look at anything that I shouldn't see. Help me, God, not to think about anything that I shouldn't think about. Help me not to go one step in the wrong direction. Lord, prevent me from even going any direction towards temptation, and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, the Bible says. Live a clean and a holy life. There's no one that lives a perfect life, not a single person. But when you fail, confess that sin. You get out of line, you confess that sin and say, God, help me to get right back on track. Why? Because I don't want to get here, and then here, and then here, and so on, away from the Lord. I want to live a holy and a clean and a pure life before God. Why is it that so many Christians want to see how close they can get to the world without disaster and without failing? I don't know about you, Chris. I don't know about you. I don't want to get as close to the world as I can. I want to get as far away from the world as I can, right? If danger's over there, I want to be way over here. Years ago, we took the teenagers on a missions trip to the Navajo Nation in New Mexico. New Mexico, right? Right, New Mexico. We were in a few states. We went to the Four Corners and to the four states that met up there. But I remember on the way back, we're like, we've got to go by the Grand Canyon, right? You can't go that direction, not stop at the Grand Canyon. We barely made it to the Grand Canyon before the sun set completely. That was our only chance. We weren't staying the night anywhere nearby. We were about to see it in the dark. What good is that going to be? The bus finally limped up the hill, and we stopped there, and we got our passes and ran down the pathway to the Grand Canyon. And I remember driving closer there, and I thinking, oh, it looks neat. You know, there's a crevice there. And then all of a sudden, I remember driving the bus up there going, whoa. And I locked my elbows in. I'm like, I'm not looking. I'm keeping it straight. And we drove the road. Don't worry, we got back safe. We survived. And we got to the top, and it was just wow. But I remember getting out to the area where everyone was gathered around, and there was people talking and singing and all kinds of stuff. It was packed. People like to get way over on the edge there, don't they? I don't hate heights, but I did that day. Right? I was like, I'm good back here. You're like, I know there's a railing and people, like it was so far down. I didn't want to get near there. Why? People die there every year. They get to the edge, they climb over, and they fall to their death. I don't want to get to the edge in my life, spiritually speaking. I don't want to see how close I can get to destruction. I want to stay as far away as possible. Why? Because that's what God wants, right? He wants to be pleased with you living a clean and a holy life. With what you see, what you hear, what you do in your life, Say, God, I want it to be clean. Want nothing hidden. I want it to be presentable, glorious in the sight of the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's begin the invitation, please. God, I pray that you'd work and move in a great way. I pray that at Shasta Baptist Church, that we present a glorious church in your sight. Every service, may you be pleased. Every song, may you be pleased. Everything, every area to serve, may you be pleased. In every home and every life. Lord, I know it starts individually. Lord, I pray that you would work in my life. Lord, I pray that we'd be glorious in your sight. Maybe if there's an area that needs a recharge, Lord, may you please convict and move. Maybe there's an area that needs conviction and correction. Maybe just some encouragement to keep going. I don't know the needs represented for everyone. But Lord, I pray that this year would be the best year in our homes, our families, and our church. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? As the Lord moved and worked on your heart, the altar's open, the invitation time begins, as the instruments begin to play, would you come and spend time with the Lord?